Tangible Assets Advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus. We do have a high-rated, the highest-rated privately held depository service in the in a huge region. I don't know, probably the Western United States, probably top three in the West. I know of one in Vegas. I've heard of one in Palm Springs, and other than that, that's about it. And ours is a very above average, top notch, good quality depository service. It's all privately. You basically get the keys. We don't keep any keys to the deposit boxes at all. We have a guard key. We can't get into the boxes without your keys, period. That's a real sense of security. People have actually called and got frustrated with us where they want us to get something out and ship it to them or something. We can't. We've done that on purpose. We've developed that strategy on purpose. Then there's just no room for doubt. No room for questioning, no room for doubt. So that's just the way we set it up. Today, folks, is an interesting day. It is September 11th. It is the 16th anniversary of the September 11th. September 11th, of course, is the day that the airplanes crashed into the trade towers. There is a lot of suspicious, confusing information. It's been a long, long time. And, you know, that I think in a way it's to a lot of people, it's become old news. Let's face it. But to me, it's not old news because I really think that it is literally what drove us to where we're at today. I think there, it you know, folks, no one ever knows for sure. But if you read scripture, it really seems like the collapse of the trade towers was literally the collapse of Mystery Babylon. I mean, I know people, you know, of course, we've been taught to believe different things pertaining to that. And I've had people argue and get all kinds of frustrated over that philosophy. It's kind of funny how mad people get over things they really don't know. You just, you know, let's admit, a lot of these things we're not sure, right? I mean, you just don't know. You can speculate, right? But if you look at the collapse of Mystery Babylon, the collapse of the trade towers, and the change in the world climate after that time, there was so much suspicious activity surrounding that. I mean, we had immediately, it's like they were all going after Osama bin Laden. The FBI had no evidence, still doesn't. You know, and those buildings, I'll just bounce a few things off of you here. From the National Institute of Standards of Technology. I just dug this out of a folder. I haven't looked at it for ages. So if I sound like I'm not following too well, it's true. I still want to touch on some communism stuff. But the buildings were designed to absorb impacts from multiple planes, Trade Towers 1 and 2. 56 minutes after impact, the building collapses in onto itself. It's what they call a free fall implosion, falling onto itself as a perfect pile of dust, right? It's crazy quantities of pulverized dust beyond your wildest dreams. What pulverized the dust? You know, I mean, they're talking 180,000 tons of dust. That's 360 million pounds. 360 million pounds of dust. And as, you know, all these demolition experts, and I don't mean demolition experts just in the fashion of people who let off explosives. I'm talking demolition experts that also specialize in tearing down buildings, in building demolition. They say no way. All of them, every professional demo person from explosives detonators to heavy equipment operators say no way. They all agree that what they saw occur that day on 9/11 was absolutely fully detonated by a bomb, not a bomb, by a fully structured set of demolition explosives that had been put into that building over at least weeks before, there was all kinds of people that said there was all kinds of fishy stuff going on, that they had moved businesses from floor to floor. People heard people work, tenants of the building heard heavy equipment or, you know, they heard tools, jackhammers and things like that operating for weeks before. They said there was people that appeared to be like Italian in work suits coming in and out of there, all kinds of stuff. So the building collapses in a way that's physically impossible according to physics. If you watch the videos, the building's dropped at a free fall rate. That is the rate of the speed of gravity, okay? That means that there was no impedance, no hindrance, no friction, no resistance to slow it down. That is not the case. It's easy, you know, folks, when we don't understand something or things are on such a grand scale, when things move to a grand scale, we lose our mind. We no longer comprehend things in the logic that we know we have. For example, evolution. Why is it that we think something that is impossible in 10 years or 100 years or maybe 1,000 years is suddenly maybe possible at a million years or for sure possible at a billion years? Doesn't make sense. Or when we get into quantities of things, to large quantities, you know, global warming, we start to look at when things are moving on grand scales in huge amounts that we don't get, all of a sudden we start to believe things that we know not to be true. Budget stuff with the government. Activities that you know are wrong, that create debt and will bankrupt you. When you get to, if you made $50,000 a year and you had a budget and I said, well, here, why don't you spend four times what you make? And you'd say that, no, I can't. That's stupid. I'll go bankrupt. First of all, I don't have the money. Secondly, if I charge it all on credit, I'd go bankrupt. And I'd say, okay, well, then I go to a guy who makes 500 grand and say the same thing. No, you know, and then 500 or 5 million or whatever. And then all of a sudden, if I say, well, our government spends $5 trillion, but for them, it's best if they spend four times what they take in. And I've actually had, I had this one guy here one time that was supposed to be helping us with our computers. Something came up in the background. We were discussing Obama, and I said, well, he's, you know, caused all kinds of financial mayhem, and he started arguing, obviously liberal. And I said, wait a minute. I said, no one refutes the fact that he's, you know, racked up our debt and deficit beyond anyone's dreams. And he said, oh, that's the way it works at that level. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, when you get into big numbers like that, it's different. When you get into like 20 trillion, you know, by spending all that money, it's going to come back to help us later. And I'm like, well, how does that make any sense? I go, does that work at your household level? Oh no, but it's different when it's a government. Oh really? So universal financial principles don't apply to a government. A totally different set of rules does. Well, it's the same logic here with the collapse of this trade tower. It's like we're dealing with such huge numbers. Now, you got to remember, folks, we're dealing with steel beams that are 8 feet by 3 feet I-beams. You're dealing with concrete floors that are as much as 8 feet thick, filled with rebar every foot. And this stuff gets fully pulverized, collapses to the floor in complete dust with no resistance at all, and it drops at the speed of gravity. Think about it. How about that? They have beams on video free falling at the same rate as the building. The NIST, National Institute of Standard and Technology, they said the collapse was caused by an impact and fires. Let's see what this says here. My eyes are bad. So basically, and then, which was refuted by their designers, engineers, and architects. Never before or after has a steel frame structure ever fallen from fire, folks. Hear what I'm saying? No steel frame structure has ever fallen from fire, period. It doesn't happen. Why? Because the fire can't get hot enough to burn the steel. So, for 20 consecutive hours in Madrid, a building burned for 20 consecutive hours of steel building, and it did not fall. And it was an absolute torch, top to bottom, with white flames, tons of oxygen. The World Trade Centers were burning with orange flames and black smoke, which means it's oxygen-deprived flames. So then the entire building collapses. It made no sense. People had walked past the hottest point of this fire inside the building with no problems. The building was not burning hot at all. And even if the planes blew up, the gas just wouldn't do that to steel. It doesn't. Steel and concrete, it's not going to burn. So they have witnesses from the 78th floor, the hottest point of the fire. They said the fire ended on the, went from the 78th floor to the 74th floor. And below the 74th and above the 78th, they said it was completely natural conditions. A guy named Paul Craig Roberts, Associate Secretary Treasury under Reagan, said it's an absolute fact that the official explanation of the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings is false. The NIST tests, the UL tests, all models failed. Okay, that this is the underwriting labs that tried to reproduce this or duplicate it. All models failed. The pancake theory was no good. They couldn't reproduce it. They could not. They couldn't make it work. Even so, then they tried it in hot furnaces. Okay, so then they reproduced the structure in a hot furnace. Still couldn't get it to reproduce. So they began to come out and say that these were lies. The temp materials that they recovered showed that temps were very low, despite evidence to the contrary. Okay? So what I mean by that is that the materials showed the temps were super low. But if you look at the building, obviously something bad happened that took it down. So there's a contradiction of information there for sure, isn't there? So anyway, you know, I realize to some people I'm rehashing old stuff. Why is this even relevant? Why would the 9/11 event be relevant today? What would America be without it? Where would we be? We were the land of the free, the home of the brave. We felt good. Things were loose. We operated loosely. You could get on and off a plane. I used to carry a 4 or 5 inch blade onto a plane. I carry a whatever knife I carry, you know, self-defense stuff. You know, no problem. I mean, no problem. Concealed weapons permit. My dad was a bail bondsman for years. He was allowed to carry a gun onto a plane. He had to pull the clip out and all this kind of stuff. That was many years ago. And he was a pilot. But the point being, it changed everything. Drastically changed everything. This country. And we keep going and going and going. So where does it stop? You know, I've discussed the People for a New American Century, which is Cheney and Rumsfeld and all these guys. They wanted this. They wanted a heightened level of martial law, a heightened police state. There was $1 trillion or better missing. There's so many scenarios of, you know, the planes that went in the building didn't look right from the underbelly and so on. So the pancake theory changed to what they call the Boeing theory, in other words, bending theory. They never released the variables that they used to finally come up with a theory of what happened. Variables were manipulated by doubling some things and having others. So I've got all the numbers here, you know, they have the fall, the impact, it, you know, I have all the different numbers, the time they've allowed, the temperatures, you know, the impact, they went from 65 tons. Well, anyway, the time they went from 45 to 90 minutes, the temp from on their testing went from 700 to 2000. They doubled the fuel, the time, the heat, the speed of impact, the weight of the planes, the drop speed was a full gravity fall, 9 seconds. The tower dropped in 9 seconds. That's, you know, they just, even the upper section, upper third collapsed in a free fall. Think about it. I mean, I'm just trying to explain from physics. These are all impossibilities, folks. I don't want to bore you, but it showed no resistance. Resistance would obviously slow or stop a collapse, wouldn't it? But the dust was pulverized. You know, World Trade Center 7, that's the dandy. 7 to 8 hours later, it goes into a free fall textbook demo collapse. Folks, I'm telling you, there was so much going on in the world at this time. You've got to realize we had Wall Street melting down. We had Enron, okay? We had huge mortgage crisis, huge. We had a lot going on. And I'll tell you what, this situation absolved a lot of people's problems. It got rid of a lot of people's problems. There was over 100 companies being investigated for cooking the books on Wall Street. Folks, it was a common thing, I assure you. What Enron was doing was nothing new. Everyone was doing it. The dot-com craze created mass corruption. Guys were trying to create these IPOs left and right. So what they were doing is they were creating, cooking the books on these phony companies, trying to get investors. I mean, there was dirt everywhere. There was going to be the biggest economic financial meltdown in the history of the world. America, for better or worse, was ready to be disassembled, but it would have been for better because we'd have rebuilt this nation in a better way. The problem is the left always wants to categorize this kind of stuff. They always want to say, oh, it's capitalism. It's not capitalism. The reason they do that is constant, continuous attacks on capitalism. They want to impose communism, which is terrible, folks. And I've been talking about that lately, haven't I? So anyway, let me try to buzz through a little more 9/11 stuff, see if I can get you to scratch your head, then I'll move on. Molten metal. There, weeks later, there's molten metal. They were studied in pools underneath the rubble of all three buildings. Weeks later, liquefied metal, burning hot metal, caused by thermite. The girders were melted. That's impossible, folks. Microscopic sulfur was found in substantial quantities. Also, there was huge quantities of thermite, which is iron oxide and aluminum powder and sulfur combined. Thermite, I won't give you the chemical formula, but it has to be intentionally placed in contact with steel. It's a man-made substance that has to intentionally be placed in contact with the steel. And there's a radio sequence to activate it for a controlled demo. You see squibs, which is, as the building's going down, below it you see these puffs, these big puffs where explosives are breaking down the structural support of the outer region of the building. You know, of course, there's the molten metal. There's the heavy sulfidation. You know, the dust is just loaded with thermite spheres. You've got barium nitrate and sulfite, which is nanothermite, which is a military explosive for military use only. It's called barium nitrate and sulfur. It's called nanothermite. It's nasty stuff. Military use only. It's very toxic. It explains all the health problems after 9/11. That's what it was caused by. There was countless witnesses of multiple explosions and flashes before the plane attack. The plane nose flash possibly triggered the explosion. If you watch the videos of 9/11, you'll see the nose of the plane flash before it touches the building. You'll also notice the underbelly of the building or of the planes doesn't match commercial jets at all. The colors aren't right. There's all kinds of stuff wrong. There's something happened. People say, well, then where'd the flight go? Where'd the flight go? Well, Flight 93 is a different deal. But the flights, whatever they were, coming into the trade towers, they had landed and switched planes, and all of a sudden a plane with the same flight number was in the air. But there was no evidence that there was anybody on board. I mean, only other than the assumption If a, say, for example, a flight takes off and it's flight 235, and that flight lands in New Jersey, and then flight 235 is supposed to continue on to wherever, or and then all of a sudden there's a flight 235 that crashes. It doesn't mean that that's the exact flight. They could have and did send out another plane. They basically changed everybody off at that airport to a different flight. People who've investigated it said, yeah, they were moved to a different flight. They sent a flight up in the air, gave it the same number, and then basically ran a decoy into the buildings. Sound crazy? Sure. Do the research. I don't make this stuff up. It's the exact plan that was structured by the CIA in the 1960s called Operation Northwood, where they were going to fake an attack on a plane filled with college students to blame Cuba in order for us to go to war with Cuba. This is what we do now, okay? We do false flag attacks leading to war. I am concerned for the North Korean situation, not because I think that Kim Jong-un is likely to attack, but because I'm afraid that others will make it look as if he did and we'll have another false flag war. Why? Who knows what the purpose is for sure? Because we don't fight wars the right way. We don't conquer, and we don't accumulate, and that's what war is supposed to be. If you're not on a fiat currency system where you make money out of thin air, war is very expensive. And so if someone forces you to go with war with them, when you're victorious, you need to recuperate your losses. And that's typically what happened. We do the opposite now. We go into these countries and build them up. And we give them all kinds of grants and money and construction and food and transportation and cargo and, infrastructure restoration and so on. So beware. Beware, beware. So we had dustful of the thermite spheres. I went through all that. Countless witnesses that saw the flashes before. Everyone has probably seen Willie, the janitor. He opened the doors to let everyone in and out before the impact. He had the firemen, witnesses. There was an explosion at ground level. He was burnt. He was exploded long before the planes hit. Then we go to the Pentagon. You've got the plane maneuvers that happened at the Pentagon, whatever flight number that was, are absolutely impossible, especially with an amateur at the wheel that supposedly just passed flight school a few weeks before. Not possible, folks. The plane, when you get into airfoil and lift, you can't, just because a massive 757 or whatever it is can fly at 1,000 feet, doesn't mean it can fly at 8 feet. It doesn't work. There's no updraft. It just doesn't work. So this plane hypothetically came scoping down to the ground so close, made a turn that was impossible, and punctured the building at the first story level. Not even possible when the fuselage is 57 feet high. The hole of the puncture in the Pentagon, which happens to be in a part of the building that they had just remodeled, that just happened to have nobody in it, that just happened to have all the records that were necessary to find out what happened to the $2.4 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld claimed the DOD had lost. Donald Rumsfeld called the emergency meeting of Congress September 10th of 2001. September 10th at 3 p.m. September 11th at 8 a.m. was the big one, right? So coincidentally, he says, hey, I lost this money. Don't know where it is. We're going to start looking. Two places to find it. Pentagon, where the new records keeping area that had just been newly remodeled was empty other than all these records. Number one. Number two, World Trade Center building number 7. This was all, folks, call me crazy. I've researched this inside out and upside down forever since it happened. Trust me, I tripped over this information. I used to listen to people say all this conspiracy junk, and it made me mad, and I said it was stupid, and it frustrated me, and I was a red, white, and blue, all-blooded, red-blooded American banker boy, you know, back, or I guess I was in this business then, but I came out of the banking industry and I was kind of a brainwashed fool. Sat home on a Sunday, a friend of mine I knew barely a little bit out of San Francisco sent me this video called 911 Mysteries. And I'm like, my wife was sleeping on the couch. And my attitude is this. I want to know both sides of every argument. I cannot stand people, and nor should you ever be the person that is so close-minded you won't listen to the other side. It's so important that you listen intently. I notice this a lot with the socialistic, liberalistic, godless mindset. They don't want to hear it. That's why they're squelching free speech. That's why they want to shut it down, because it may actually influence them. They're afraid that it may influence them. Folks, you need to have just a truth detector. Just detect truth. That's all you got to do, is detect the truth. And the rest of it, God will take care of. You, your job is to crave and desire and seek the truth. And you need to seek the truth with as much objectivity as you would looking at a rock on the road and saying, that's a rock on the road. Not, man, I don't want to call that a rock, because if I call it a rock, then that means I might have to pick it up, and it means that it could hurt a car tire. Why don't we just call it a piece of styrofoam for now, or, you know, we'll call it a soft part. We'll just call it a soft composite. And then that way, and we'll call it biodegradable soft composite. And that way we don't have to pick it up. We don't have to worry about it hurting anybody. We're sure not going to call it a rock. That'd be too inconvenient. Folks, you got to just seek the truth, no matter the cost. When you get the truth, it will set you free, right? So I watched this video from a friend of mine, just because I got my notepad out. I was going to write this stuff down. I was going to tell that guy where he was wrong and what an unpatriotic, un-American individual he was. And I started watching this video, and my jaw just dropped more and more and more. And I was like, what? You know, it's called 911 Mysteries. There's tons of other videos out there now, but I like 911 Mysteries because it's basic. It asks questions. It doesn't have innuendos. It's just good for opening up the conversation. So there is that. So the experts absolutely say that there is, well, first of all, like I said, that plane couldn't have went in. What was it? It was a rocket, okay? The puncture hole makes sense with a rocket. There's no dead bodies, for goodness sakes. The lawn had, you know, this scattered joke of a debris field. And there's Donald Rumsfeld out there picking it up when he and Cheney and no one else could be getting a hold of earlier that day when NORAD wanted to shoot stuff down. I mean, it just stinks to high heaven, folks. It really does. So experts absolutely say there was no evidence or debris. There was no parts, no parts for engines, landing gears, brakes, wheels, tires, no high hardened steel, none of it. So then people try to claim speed changes physics. Like we were saying earlier, they start to say that speed pulverizes this and that. No, the same laws apply. The plane that got blown up a while ago over the Russians shot down a plane over, I can't remember the name of it now, Malaysia or whatever it was. You know, there are all the bodies, there's all the luggage, there's the parts of the plane. Physics are a universal law. It's like I was saying earlier, saying physics change when something goes super fast. And these planes aren't going super fast. They're going 500 miles an hour. We're not approaching the speed of light so that somehow molecular structure is changing. No, there was nothing there. There was no debris. You can find video of people walking around picking up little pieces of metal. You get airplane experts, and they say those are not the parts from that plane that went down. And they say that they're the parts from a crash from 92 that a U.S. rescue team picked up. And, you know, you get my point? Okay, good. So speed doesn't change the laws of physics. So they say 16-foot hole, 5 meters wide, this is in the Pentagon, for 150 plus foot wide plane. Okay. You have a 150 foot wide plane that makes a 16 foot wide hole. The plane is 45 feet high, minimum, 57 feet. Makes a hole 16 feet wide. No way. Does not happen. This Terry Mason from a book called The 911, The Big Lie, basically went into these crazy, ridiculous explanations where he had what's called the vaporizing theory, where engines and wings and engines were made of titanium that won't melt until 3,000 degrees Celsius. There's no outline of the aircraft, nothing. And then he comes up with the vaporization theory that it just vaporized. That makes sense. That makes sense, right? Steel and titanium and rubber, it just vaporized. Yeah, that's a good idea. Or how about the collapsing wing theory, where everything just collapsed into a tiny tube? They say that the 57-foot-tall fuselage collapsed into a 16-foot hole, and everything, the wings and everything, just went right behind it, even though none of the debris was in the building. You get my point, okay? Trust me on that. Those are facts. People are out there going, well, maybe you haven't heard this. Maybe you're going, what the heck? I thought that was all legit. No, there's dirt all over it, folks. So, Mayor Albert Stubblebein from U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command, who was responsible for measuring equipment from military photographs, okay, who he has 100% no doubt that that hole was not from a Boeing 747. He says there's no way a Boeing 747 did not impact the Pentagon. The plane does not fit. That's what his specialty is. His specialty is to look at aerial photographs and tell you exactly what's there, what's not there, what was there. That's what he does. He says, absolutely no way. That's Major Albert Stubblebein from the U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command. He says there's no doubt. He said the plane absolutely does not fit. There was a fighter pilot ordered to fly over and assess the damage claimed reports that had to be wrong. He said he was flying over to assess damage, and he said the reports have to be wrong. He said this is a military fighter pilot. He said the hole is way too small. He said there's no tail, there's no wings, there's no motors, there's nothing. 86 cameras at the Pentagon. The FBI confiscated them all. They released only 4 videos, and they can't tell you what it was. They can tell what it wasn't, but it wasn't a 757. The flight maneuvers that took place that day are preposterous. A 275-foot turn at 500 miles an hour is not possible. Fighter pilots with thousands of hours of experience couldn't do this, nor could a 757 structurally handle it, okay? So, you know, the height of a flight at 6 feet above the ground, ridiculous. The air is too dense, aerodynamically impossible, you know, and then they have this pilot, Hani Hanjour. The instructor said he couldn't even fly a Cessna 172. The Pentagon most likely secured the most likely secured airspace in the world, the most restricted airspace in the world. Separate radar, you know, they've got everything. Separate military response. And there was no information. There's no details, there's no information. That the part of the Pentagon just happened to be empty, except for documents that were critical to large federal investigations. It's unbreachable airspace, according to the 113th National Air Guard. That's who protects it. And yet they had just recently put in a rule that said in order to protect the airspace, you have to get permission from Rumsfeld or Cheney or one of these high-ranking officials. And guess what? They were all gone and unavailable. while these while this whatever was going on with 9/11. And then, of course, right after that, they changed the policy back to, you know, make decisions on the fly. So, you know, don't be shocked. You get the point. They've got anti-aircraft missile batteries. They have to have IFF, military transponders. Without it, it'd be immediately shot down. Secondary radar was turned off. Flight 77 left the radar screen in coverage for 36 minutes. It landed somewhere, and then it was replaced with a missile. The U.S. spends $892 billion per year on domestic security. NORAD refused to tell the 911 commission why the jets were not scrambled. They should have been automatic as soon as planes were hijacked. The reason is what I said. Cheney had recently put in a change of orders. Anytime airliners go off course and loses radio communication or any transponder signals, anytime any one of those happen, they are immediately scrambled. In other words, fighter jets immediately go up to intercept it. They're intercepted immediately. In this case, none of that. 9/11, we had all three. We had the airliner went off course. It lost radio communication and lost transponder signals, and they weren't scrambled. 90 minutes with no intercept. It says 20 to 90 minutes with no intercept. There are 16 airbases on the East Coast. They blame the FAA. It's not a fact. It's protocol, on and on and on. So they didn't. I won't go on. I've got a lot more notes here that I can go over. There's no question. I think you get the point. Not to even mention the fact that the building, you know, there's just so much. We're going to leave it at that. That's 9/11, folks. Why is it relevant? Because it changed who we are today. We have got massive money pumping into this overly huge tyrannical government. We've got the government funding, fascists claiming to be anti-fascists and so on. And we are literally at a crux, at a crossroads, at a critical juncture in this nation. What's different than ever before? Brainwashing, falsification of information, propaganda. Who invented propaganda? Karl Marx. Who perfected it? Joseph Goebbels, Nazi Party. I hope you know who Karl Marx is. Propaganda is all part of communism, okay? So recently I've covered, you know, the enemy within, I called it. Communism in America. I basically went through and I discussed the Communist Manifesto, that Marx's basic theme is that the proletariat, or the exploited working class of a capitalistic society, will suffer from alienation and will rise up against the bourgeoisie, the middle class, and overthrow the system of capitalism. After a brief period of rule by the dictatorship of the proletariat, the classless society of communism is supposed to emerge. Here's what happens. The proletariat takes over. That's the powerful. And they're supposed to hold things in control. They're supposed to bring in this powerful, overbearing government. And then after things are, everybody agrees, okay, we're going to go to communism. It's going to be a beautiful little world. After all this takes place, then you're supposed to go to this utopian world. No one's ever gotten there, folks. It requires incredibly heavy-handed. It is a theory, okay? Everybody probably wants it to be true. I mean, but the thing is, we're not made that way. We're not made for communism. In other words, you are not made to sit around and just not ever have anything to call your own, to share everything you ever have, which really doesn't happen. Everybody ends up broke. Everybody ends up greedy. You know, this utopian fantasy does not work. When people don't work, when they don't have incentive, they don't work hard. And you lose everything. When people are growing crops for the government to come in and confiscate them all, and if they don't, they shoot them. How good of crops do you think they grow? Not too good. But if someone's growing it for themselves, how good of crops do they grow? You know, we've got to sit and analytically and hypothetically analyze this stuff, when in reality, it's just the way God made us. It's common sense. if we have a vested interest in our own performance, we do a good job. If we have no hope of reaping any reward from our efforts, we do a bad job. And that's just the way it is. So, their desire, there's 10 steps that they consider necessary to be taken to destroy a free enterprise society. Basically, that's where we're at today. The theory of communism is summed up in one single phrase, that is the abolition of private property. You are to own nothing. This big entity, the government, takes over. This is so exactly the opposite of what God created, what God desires, okay? This is the problem. Communism is man. A Republic of America, our constitutional system, is God. There's a directive from the Communist Party that is, you know, they're basically, it says, when obstructionists become too irritant, label them as fascists, Nazis, or anti-Semitic. Constantly associate those who oppose us with those names that already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the minds of the public. So what that means is what we're seeing now. You're a fascist, you're a Nazi, you're a racist. You're an anti-Semitic. So what happened in Charlottesville? The night before, we had this torchlight parade with anti-Semitics that hit the news. Of course, no one knew who they were. They didn't show up the next day. No one knew where they came from at a Unite the Right rally. And the next day, we have this supposed clash between the Ku Klux Klan and Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. How dumb is that? All lives matter. Justice is justice. If they truly are being treated with less than acceptable justice, then they need to be rectified. I'm not going to deny that. But Black Lives Matter, if they're just saying, hey, don't forget about us too, okay, fine. But at the same time, they have become a radical, violent activist group that they want to rectify revenge. That's what they're doing. They're not trying to edify the community and build it up and make it better. They're trying to execute revenge for wrongs going all the way back. They undermine our founding fathers and trash on them and everything else. We are the country that freed slaves, like it or not, okay? We may have had slavery early on, but there's also a ton of evidence that so many people were so good to their slaves. And all we hear about is the heinous, the wrong. And this stuff's gone on for thousands of years. Blacks have had blacks for slavery. It's been in Egypt. It's been in Jerusalem. It's been in Israel. It's been in everything. It was a cultural norm, but it didn't mean that they were whipped and beaten and disrespected all the time. Many people took care of their slaves as well as they take care of their good animals. The Bible says, you take care of your stuff. And I'm not equating a black person to an animal. I'm just saying that people that have a good heart have a good heart. They're not going to turn around and mistreat. In so many cases, these bond servants, they had a house. They had, as they say, three hots and a cot. They had three hot meals a day. They had a place to stay. All their bills were covered. All their medical expenses were covered. They were loved by their owners and their families, and they were taken care of. That's a fact. Not saying it was all like that, but it happened a lot. So then I discussed the planks of communism, abolition of property, the progressive income tax, destruction of inheritance, so you don't continue on to hold wealth. Everything is designed to destroy and to absolve and abolish your property ownership. The fourth plank is where they bring in this confiscation of property, which I hate because they've got this, search and seizure. If you're driving through a little town and a cop pulls you over, he doesn't like you. He says, where are you going? I'm going to buy my dad a car. Got any cash in the car? Yeah, I have $25,000 cash. And what's it for? Oh, to buy my dad a car. Well, I don't feel comfortable with that. I think it's drug money. He has a right to confiscate. A right. A law allows him to confiscate it. And then when people go to get it back, it's terrible. It's hell. I'm so opposed to it. And Reagan put this stuff in. So many of these over-the-top violations of the Constitution have been imposed by conservatives. However, all the way back through history, the harshest things that have been done by the Democratic Party. Then the Democratic Party comes in and takes claim for freeing slaves and all this. That's a complete lie. They didn't free the slaves. They didn't do a lot of things they take the claim for. The fifth plank of communism is the centralization of credit. We've got to have a centralized banking system with, like Keynesian economics, we call it now. It's got to have a continuous state of inflation to confiscate and redistribute the people's wealth. The progressive income tax is a redistribution of wealth. These are all unbiblical, ungodly, unconstitutional actions and activities that we are now accepting wholeheartedly, with an open mind, as if it's okay. It's not. It's wrong. It is destroying our country from within. The sixth plank is centralized control of communications and transportation. I think we know about the FCC and the Department of Transportation and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Then we've got the seventh plank, which is state-owned or controlled factories and operational centers, bringing into the cultivation of wastelands, improvement of soil. You know, we've got all this stuff going on with the Department of Agriculture and the EPA and governments basically controlling manufacturing because all the manufacturing's done for them because they're not hiring out privately. The eighth plank is equal liability for all to labor. In other words, everyone needs to work. So starting after World War II, we had women as a favor. Hey, will you work? Will you build for us patriotically while your husband's off fighting the war? Sure, I will. And then the husband gets back. They've got the second income. And they stick to it. They say, look, honey, this is great. We're going to have two incomes. We can have a nice car, maybe two nice cars. We can have a nice little house. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. And then what happens is the system starts to expect that income and the price of goods begins to rise and climb to acclimate to that second income. And pretty soon, after a couple decades, you need that second income to survive. Whoa, now it's not a luxury anymore. It's a necessity. That's how we did that. We've got it where everyone has to work. Then kids are born in this nation with debt on their back. Numbers you can't even believe. Literally, each individual in this nation is born with $1.7 million in debt on their back. That's our deficit. That does not count when they go out and get a car loan. That doesn't really, it especially doesn't count when they go out and get $65,000 in student loans. We are losing it, folks. So that's the eighth plank. The ninth plank is the combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries. They call it the gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country. And so what's happened? We used to have little farms all over and people, you know, raising chickens and, you know, and eggs and beef. And now what happens? Massive corporations continue to grow and take it over. These corporations are extensions of our government because they have so much money and so much power and so much lobby. They get people into office. They pay, you know, you know what I'm talking about, right? You got food processing companies with cooperation of the Farmers Home Administration. You've got huge, you know, farm home administration loans that are controlling mortgages. They're doing repos. They're buying up farms and creating conglomerates. It's crazy. So the 10th plank is free education for all children in public schools and the abolition of children's factory labor in its present form. That's all deceptive. But the bottom line is free education for all, brainwashing of the children. Communist goals are interesting. They've got you know, the coexistence. They want us to accept nuclear weaponry from other nations. They've got technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. This is the new thing. They don't understand the Constitution. They get this liberal tint or taint on it, and they don't know what's right. One of their goals is to get control of the schools. I'm reading straight out of their playbook, folks. To use them as transmission belts for socialism and communist propaganda, to soften their curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, and put the party line in the textbooks, gain control of all student newspapers. The student riots is part of their plan. Student riots, public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. This is the new gig. If you're a threat to them, they have a system to destroy you. They say their goals are to infiltrate the press, gain control of radio, TV, motion pictures, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. This one blows me away. Eliminate all good sculpture form from parks and buildings and substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. This way we lose our identity. We lose our culture altogether. You know, control art critics and directors of art museums where their plan, it says, is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. Isn't that crazy? That's really true. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity, and then they can call any control of it censorship, and then add laws controlling hate speech. So you can go out and be vile and vulgar and filthy and gross and disgusting and offensive. That's okay. But don't mention anybody's, you know, gender decisions or sexual preferences or, you know, things like this, we'll say, or skin color or anything. You will be destroyed. And then in hate speech isn't what you say. It's what someone perceives you to have said or meant. It's a brainwashing mentality. So they present, part of their goals is to present homosexuality, degeneracy, promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy behaviors. To infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social, religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. You're better than religion. You don't need religion. Only dumb people need religion. When in reality, our faith is a faith of wisdom and knowledge, and science proves it. They want to infiltrate the churches. These are their goals, folks, written down around the turn of the 20th century. This is, in other words, back around the early 1900s, around the time of Theodore Roosevelt. To infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. To eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. That's a lie. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, calling it the Constitution a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis, to discredit the American founding fathers, to present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. So we know about the, you know, the ways of historical malpractice where they're, you know, they're rewriting history, folks, simple enough. This is all happening while Trump's trying to fix the infrastructure of this nation. As I mentioned earlier, we're starting to sell. I've got some phenomenal investment coins from my father and my own private collection. This is a unique opportunity. We did also recently just buy a mega hoard of dollars out of the state of Montana, where all silver dollars, I think, go. But we've got a nice inventory. We've got a great opportunity. Preserve and protect yourself, folks. It's a terrific time as we head into the fall. Anything's possible in the fall, folks. Fall and winter, this is when crazy stuff can happen. Interesting times, but don't hesitate. Don't waste. If you have any questions, give us a call, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website at coinsplus.com. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. We'll see you Wednesday. Bye-bye.